Genesis 25, verses 19 through 28. How should we listen to these words?
Very carefully.
And why should we listen to them so carefully?
Because they're God's.
Indeed. So Genesis 25, beginning in verse 19. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with Yahweh for his wife because she was barren, and Yahweh granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of Yahweh. And Yahweh said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So he called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man in the field. But Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because of his game. Rebekah loved Jacob.
Should I get an umbrella?
So who can tell me how old Isaac was when he and Rebekah got married? Beatrice? Okay, Isaac was 40 years old when they got married. And how old was he when the twins were born? Beatrice? 60. So, how many years was it from when Isaac got married to when the twins were born?
20 years.
Carissa? 20 years. Okay, so the scripture says that Isaac took Rebekah's wife. Now, Isaac pleaded with Yahweh for his wife because she was barren, and Yahweh granted his plea. So, how long was she barren?
20 years.
20 years. How long did he pray for his wife? Did he plead with the Lord for his wife?
20 years.
20 years. And yet, the scripture just says, "Now Isaac pleaded with Yahweh for his wife, and Yahweh granted his plea." We tend to be very impatient, don't we? We think that the Lord hearing my prayer and answering means right away, or within what we would consider to be a reasonable amount of time. In a few months, your mom and I will have been married 20 years. Now, how often, older girls, would Rebekah be especially reminded that she was barren? She would come to her husband and say, "I'm sorry, we're not having a baby for another, or we're not going to be pregnant for another
month
at least," right? Every month they would get their hopes up, and they would pray, and every month she would come back to her husband with the news, "Nope, it wasn't this month." Over 200 months, right? 240 months total, but you take away some for the pregnancy, and maybe they didn't conclude that she was barren for 5 or 6 months until, like, yeah, they've been married a little while. but at least 200 months. And what was Isaac's solution when his wife was not having a baby? Did he blame her?
No.
Did he follow what seemed to be the ordinary protocol at the time? For if your wife isn't having a baby for you, you remember what his dad had done? His mom and dad? They went and got a concubine, right? A nursemaid, or whatever, to be Sarah's representative and have a baby on her behalf. Is that what Isaac did here?
No.
What was Isaac's response instead?
Prayed
for his wife. He trusted in the Lord. He cared for his wife. I'm not saying he was sinless here. Perhaps they did have discussions and arguments and difficulty. But on the whole, the way the scripture summarizes that entire 20-year time period is now Isaac pleaded with his wife. Now, I want you to see something. If you've been pleading with God for something for 20 years and you think this is going to be the best thing, this is the thing that we want, this is how we're defining blessing from God, if the Lord would just allow Rebecca to get pregnant. Well, let's see what happens when she gets pregnant. Yahweh granted his plea, and Rebecca, his wife, conceived. In 20 years of difficulty there, and trusting the Lord, praying, being persistent, sticking to it. That's what being persistent means in prayer. But the children struggled together within her, so that she said, and of course New King James says, if all is well, why am I like this?
Nothing.
Now, does anyone remember from a sermon, other than Beatrice, because she was there and we went over this passage with someone on a pastoral visit yesterday, does anyone remember from sermon or family worship on this passage what she actually says?
I don't.
You do?
Yes.
Well, tell us.
Why am I?
Why am I? Right. If it is thus, why am I? She despairs of her very existence. And of course, dear John and B, our dear twins, your mom can identify with Miss Rebecca here. They had prayed and pleaded with God for what they thought would be the greatest of blessings for 20 years. And then after God answers a prayer, she's like, I would rather have never existed. We must trust the Lord. We must trust the Lord not only in times when for years and years and years we are seeking from him that which is not just physically good and earthly good, but spiritual good. Isaac was the son of the promise. Who was supposed to come from Isaac?
Jesus
was supposed to come from Isaac. This desire to get pregnant was not just an earthly desire. It was a desire to serve the Lord, a desire to fulfill their calling. And when we are praying to God for some spiritual good, you know, maybe that someone we love would be converted, or that the Lord would enable us to serve him in a particular way. And month after month after month after month, whatever the good thing is that we're praying for doesn't seem to come, the Lord is still being good. The Lord is still being faithful. Christ did come. God did save his people through the gift of his son, like he had purposed to do in his love from before the world began, like he had promised to Adam, like he had promised to Abraham. Okay, so the Lord was still being good that whole time. You know what else the Lord is being good? When he brings something into our life that is so hard that we feel like it would have been better if we had never existed. And so, you know, not only should we get in the habit of trusting the Lord, what does trusting the Lord look like? Well, it looks like Isaac pleading with the Lord, right? It looks like prayer. What else does trusting the Lord look like? It looks like going to his word. So she said, If it is thus, why am I? So she went to inquire of Yahweh. Now, she didn't have a Bible. She may have had a book from Adam. I think there's good reason to expect that that all the way as far back as Adam, the Lord's people were recording in books the word of Yahweh. She didn't have a word of Yahweh for this situation. We have a word of Yahweh for every situation. How do we go to inquire of the Lord? We go out into the field and yell into the sky and listen for words.
No.
We clear our minds and repeat something, some nonsense phrase, or listen to weirdo music and hum funny.
No.
No.
Wait for some sound to come into our heart or head.
No.
No. Praise God. You keep remembering that. A lot of people being led astray by a lot of wicked things that have more to do with false New Age Eastern religions than they do with true Christianity, and then just slap the name of the Holy Spirit blasphemously on whatever comes into their heads. Okay? How do we inquire of the Lord? You guys got to answer more loudly and clearly.
How do the Bible.
We read the Bible. That's how we inquire of the Lord. We got everything we'll ever need, don't we? All the words of God that we'll ever need already in the Bible. You guys are more blessed than Rebecca. Okay? And so she goes to the Lord and she gets his word. And it's a word that she decides to abide by. When it says she loved Jacob, it doesn't mean that she didn't love Esau. In fact, it might mean that Isaac wasn't very loving toward Jacob. Why did he prefer Esau over Jacob, according to this passage?
Because Esau gave him his favorite
food. He was a good cook.
Because Esau's House of Wild Game was Isaac's favorite restaurant. Let us remember to practice self-control and not be slaves to our appetites and pleasures. This is Isaac, who the first time Rebecca saw him, he was out in the field praying. Didn't know when the caravan was going to come. The implication is that it was just his habit. This is Isaac, who took her into his tent and loved her. He was a good husband. This is Isaac, who, when there was something difficult, in particular a spiritual situation, the desire to fulfill his calling as the one through whom the seed would come, he didn't compromise and do what the world around him did, what even his father and mother had done, but he pleaded with the Lord. Isaac so far has been very godly, and yet appetites and not keeping them in check led him even to actively resist the word of God. And we'll find that that continues to be a theme for him later. But Rebecca, who went to God and got his word, okay, it's not just, oh, she liked the mild kid better because moms love a mama's boy. I've heard people say that. Yes, the scripture tells us about the character of Isaac. Or sorry, the character of Jacob. But it also tells us that God had given her words about her son. And her response to him was in line with his word. So let us, as we come to his word day by day, not just say, oh, that's interesting, the older shall serve the younger. So there's a theological idea. Jacob is going to be the one through whom the seed comes. But whatever interesting ideas we come across in Scripture, let us act upon them with our lives. Let's allow them to form the way that we think, the way that we act. So, things like not becoming slaves to our fleshly desires. Things like rejoicing that God is always being good to us because of his purposes in Christ. Even when prayer requests take a long time to come, and even when circumstances make us despair of our existence. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you know our dear friends who even today are going through such a hard situation. We thank you that you gave us for this week and the Lord's Day, and then even in the very days that they're enduring this for follow-up devotions, this portion of your word, that we might remember your goodness, that we might remind ourselves of your goodness. Lord, it does strengthen us to let our conduct be without covetousness, to be content with your providence to us, however hard, to know that you yourself have said that you will never leave us or forsake us. But, oh Lord, we are so weak and so quickly forgetful that we need also boldly to say to ourselves that you, O Lord, are our helper, and that we will therefore not fear, because what can man or devil or any circumstance do to us except for that which you have intended already for our good? Please help each of us to remember that every day of our lives. We pray that these sturdy truths would be established as the foundation and framework of our thinking, so that when we come into a difficult time, we will be able to repeat your word and believe it and hold on to it. We pray for our dear friends that they would be able to now as well. Thank you for giving us this word. Bless it to us and work by it in us by the ministry of your Spirit, which we ask in Jesus' name. And your children here say,
Amen.
Amen.